Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kel.
Good morning.
I went to Argentina for the names for this show. Everybody knows we make up names and I go to different countries. Benja. Benja is the name of the person who's crossed over, and Thiago is the name of the client. After we get through consent, Thiago says to me, I came because I listened to the podcast.
Is there a good chance that it's pronounced Thiago and spelled T-H, and our white asses don't know how to pronounce an Argentinian name? You might have hit the money. You might have said it perfectly.
Thiago?
I don't know. Pick it and roll with it, but like.
I think you have a really good point. And I think that there's a really good point that I pick these names with a good intention and then it goes sideways because I don't pronounce most of them probably, right?
I could be wrong.
But Thiago sounds a lot better than Thiago.
I just feel like they would say it a lot sexier than we gave it credit for.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to go with because in my head I've been practicing.
Go with that then.
Thiago.
Great.
And I think it's totally wrong, but I think I'm going to stick with it.
And the story is more important.
It is. So hang in there with us. Okay. So Thiago says to me at the beginning, I've been watching the podcast. I really want medium. There's certain things I really want. And I listen to that I can go open and sometimes my needs will be met and sometimes it won't. So I'm here knowing that I can take responsibility. And if I don't get my needs met, I can ask my questions. I hear you saying that I can do that. So I'm going to start with open and just see what comes because I still am curious and there still are so many needs, but I want to know what he knows. Like, this is one of the reasons I'm here. And I said, yeah, I think that's why most people book is that they want that combination. Is that they do want to see what's going to come through. And he said, yeah, and I've only got so much time booked. So I realized, too, that had I booked a 90-minute session with you, there's more likelihood I'd get my needs met if I've booked a shorter term, that just time-wise is going to make sense. That how do you pick out of all the things I need? And he said, so I don't want to put the responsibility that you have to pick the right one because there's probably five or six things I really need. And I realize it's not reasonable to expect that from you. Yeah. So we sat through that and I said, thank you to him. And I said, okay, let's get started. And so I said to Benja, what is it that you want to do? And he says, well, first of all, he says, just get my energy. So I get, Kelly, you know, when you get distance, mm-hmm. But you know that the person is family because like you get that inner knowing that they're the inner circle of the biology of the inner family.
But I love that you just clarified the inner circle can be deemed as biology.
Yes.
And not closeness.
Exactly my point. And so you know that there's this inner circle, so you know it's biological family. So you can say that and you know, Thiago can say yes, okay. But then you feel distance, even though they're the inner circle, which most people might think, well, if they're in the inner circle, aren't they close to you? Don't you feel the
hell no?
Right? But it's something I had to figure out in developing these abilities and getting things wrong with some people and then going, oh, that doesn't hold true for everybody. Okay, this makes more sense. And working through those things in inner knowings. So I say to Thiago, there's this inner circle. So it's biological family, but I feel a big distance. And he goes, what? What do you mean? And I said, distance. And he goes, can you describe the distance? And I said, yeah, it's not geographical. I said, it's emotional distance. It's intellectual distance. And he goes, oh, wow. Oh, oh, like this. He goes, wow. He goes, yes. And I said, he goes, geez. He goes, my head is just blown. He said, just the fact that you said emotional distance and intellectual. And he said, that is something I have to get on recording. Can you stop? And I said, yeah. He goes, you gave me permission at the very beginning and you strongly encouraged me to record. And I didn't know how to do it on Zoom. So instead of telling you the truth, I just didn't know and I needed help. He said, I didn't speak up. And he said, so now I'm in a position that I have to interrupt the channeling to ask you to help me record the session. I really need this in recording. And he said, you also told me to get a pen and paper and you told me to take my time. And I didn't, because once again, I felt some shame and I just sat my shame and I was disorganized before the session because I was nervous, but I knew all of these things because I listened to your podcast. So he says, I feel really bad, but I'm trying to clean up the mess I've made.
I just, like, as an Enneagram 1, the amount of responsibility that this person is taking at the very beginning of their session is so deeply satisfying. And then the humility for them to show up and just say, look, I can do better. I can call myself out on it. I can be kind about it. I can ask for help. Like, this is a lovely way to show up, especially too for anyone who's listening who has or hasn't had a session, to understand that nerves are just part of it, right? There's nerves of excitement. There's nerves of a little bit of fear, the unknown, all of it. To know that you can just like take a breath and handle yourself well and have humility and be partnered with professionalism is a very hopeful thing.
Yeah. Thank you. So I just said to Diego, take your time. Let's do this again. And he said, okay. So I just transferred hosting position over Zoom to him, walked him through, because it's only two or three little things to say. He recorded it. And then he ran and got his pen and, or whatever he got, came and sat back at the table and he goes, okay, say it again. So I started off and I just said to the guides, what did you say? Because often I don't remember. And I said, what was it that wants to hear again? And he goes, do you have to ask the guides again? And I said, I do. He goes, don't you remember? And I said, no. And he goes, wow. He goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm making you work twice as hard because I was disorganized. And I said, you weren't just disorganized. I think you were just nervous and you were just trying to be on time. And he goes, yeah. I said, that's okay. I said, like, we don't get it all right, and neither do I. And I could be sitting here on my end, sitting in this little community in Northern Canada with my own nerves about doing a session for somebody and wanting to do a good job for them. And he goes, oh, I hadn't thought about that you could have nerves too. And I said, yeah, I could too. And I said, so it's compassion. It's empathy for each other, right? And I said, that builds connection to each other. And I said, and that's what channeling is. It's connection. And I said, so this entire process is important because if I just got angry, I'm disconnecting. If I just went into my own ego, I'm disconnecting. So I'm disconnecting from you, and you are the one that holds all of the information for the session. For the session. And I said, it's not just connecting to the spirit guides or the dead people. It's connecting to the client. I have to connect to you. And he goes, okay. I didn't think of it that way. He goes, I just thought you were just talking to dead people. I thought this was all about you. And whether you could do it or not, and whether it was real or not, and like that. And I said, well, all of whether it's real or not has to do with the fact that mediums and psychics are creating energetic connection to the spirit world and to the person that wants the information. And he goes, okay. So then that was that. He goes, okay, so what does Benja want to say? And Benja says to me, well, this is all understandable that he doesn't understand connection. And he said, because I didn't create any. He said, I didn't give him any. So I tell Diego that. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I think you're right. He says, could you just go on? I'll just keep listening and doing my notes and stuff. Then Benja says to me, I have to go back to before I got married. He says, and you have to tell him this. I'm not just explaining it to you. He says, I want you to say to my son, And I'm like, okay. So biological dad, distance. And he goes, yeah. He says, I just got married because I thought I had to. He said, and I thought it had to be a woman. I didn't consider it could be a man. He said, I didn't consider that I didn't have to get married or that I could just be single. I didn't consider any options. I never thought there were any options. I didn't believe there were any. And he said, I have to find a woman. I have to be married. I have to stay married. He says, I had all these beliefs and I have to have children. And he said, or I'm a failure. In some way, I'm a failure. And he said, and in the worst ways possible in life, I'm a failure. And he said, and divorce is definitely a big failure. So I can't do that either. He said, so I have to pick a woman who's going to believe the same thing, like that she can't leave no matter what happens. And I said, okay, so you've vetted.
I'm just curious if any listener feels the level of exhaustion from listening to this when you hear that this is how people approach life. And maybe it's you as a listener, or maybe you're a third party thinking about like, oh my God, I never thought I had choice. Mm-hmm. I thought this is what you do. Like, it's exhausting to be pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm. And to be told what is right and what is wrong instead of who am I? And
what could joy look like?
Yes. What could my happiness look like? What could meeting my needs, my wants, my hopes, my dreams, my desires look like? Like, I'm not even allowed to question any of that. Mm-hmm. And so I explain this to Thiago and he goes, oh, I think I know what you're doing. He goes, I think this is answering some of the questions that are on my page. He says, please tell Benja to keep going. And I said, yeah. And I just realized I might be pronouncing Benja wrong too.
Good possibility.
It could be Benya. So then Benja tells me to say all of this to Thiago so that he understands where all of this originated, where it all came from, the way he was parented, the way he saw his parents interact. And that was on the page. That was actually written on the page. What happened? Why? Like, lots of whys. And then Benja says, so I went into the marriage and I went into dating, and this is how I dated. This is how I saw the purpose of everything, what I was looking for in this person, the qualities, the obedience I wanted, the same commitment to marriage, but not to relationship. And it was like, oh, that's actually a really good way to word that. So when I say that to Thiago, he goes, yes. He goes, that I get. He goes, because my dad would not leave, no matter what was going on as like when my parents fought or what anything. He said it was always that my parents reiterated that you stay in a marriage and I'm the one staying committed.
So fucking noble.
Yes. Like,
so fucking stubborn.
Yeah, like I'm the one staying committed. I'm the one that's in this. I'm the one that's doing the work. But he wasn't doing any work. He was completely avoiding the work. But just because he was staying to him and doing anything, bare ass minimum, was doing so much work. Mm-hmm. And so when I say that to Thiago, he goes, oh my God. He goes, that explains more of the things on my page that I wanted to know. Like, why he didn't support my mom? Like, why wasn't he there just for the regular things? Why couldn't he just pick up a effing dish and just put it in right in the dishwasher? Why did was it on the table? Like, why couldn't he do anything at all? Why was it the bare minimum? It was the bare minimum because he didn't want to be there, period. Mm-hmm. So the bare minimum feels like a mountain. It feels
is also a protest.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah, it does. You're right. There's a struggle to like move the plate, and we can call it depression. But like, it literally is a protest of I don't actually want to be here, and I'm going to express it in all of the ways that I can't actually, to compensate for the ways that I can't actually express it.
Right. Yeah.
I hope that hits people between the eyes, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. If you're sitting here and you're like, why can't my partner, male or female, put their own dish away, pick up, you know, and put the laundry that they dump next to the laundry hamper into the laundry hamper. Mm-hmm. Maybe start seeing these things as little protests.
Yeah. Like where you come in the door and you put your shoes, you just drop them where you take them off. and the shoe rack that you went to IKEA to get together with the kids maybe is sitting 2 feet right beside it, right? Mm-hmm. The shoe organizer. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's the protest that there's something wrong and I'm not expressing my feelings. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm confused. I don't know what I am. I need help. Like all of the things that you're saying that they can't say. And this is what Benja is saying to Thiago, that I'm feeling all these things and I don't feel that I even know what it is. And so there's a struggle there too, eh, Kelly, that, you know, when his wife says, what's going on? When, you know, what's happening? Like, why aren't you? Why do I have to ask you? Why do I have to tell you? Like, she's asking questions. She's not asking the right questions. And it maybe...
I'd disagree.
Wait, maybe even if she... Even if she is asking the right questions, he's not staying in his own body. He's dissociating so much that he can't stay in his own body, in his own mind, in his own life to be able to say, this is what it is. And I need to talk about it and I need to deal with it. He's not doing that. So then Benja shows me and explains to me how he wants to find activities where he can engage himself out of the house. So he starts to volunteer. And he volunteers, so he'll say, I'm going to be a coach for football. And I'm going to coach a team, but I'm not going to coach my own child's team.
I don't think any parent fucking should, but go on.
I understand. But he's doing it from the sense that I don't want to be at my own children's games. So I'm going to be at a different child's game so that I'm busy and I have a reason not to be with my own wife on the sideline or with my own child on the field. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't want to be with either of them. And when I say this to Thiago, he looks at me and he goes, thank you very effing much. And he said, and you can see Thiago's anger and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And he says, I'm expressing anger. And I said, oh, no. I said, it's healthy anger. Feel free to express it. And he goes, what? And I said, no, it's not directed at me, Thiago. I'm not taking any of your anger personally. You're expressing anger at what had happened to you in your past. It's healthy anger to express. And he goes, I thought all anger was unhealthy. And I said, no, there's a ton of healthy anger. And I said, and you can express it in healthy ways with your words, with your energy, with tone of voice. You can do all kinds of things in healthy ways, especially if it's not directed at the person that's listening. And he went, oh my God, if it's not directed at the person that's listening. And I said, no, I said, I feel safe to witness your anger and to hold energy for you. And he went, oh, I just don't think that I've ever had anybody in my life that's offered that. So this just feels really good. Mm-hmm. He goes, and it feels really weird.
For anyone who's listening and is thinking that you can express your anger to someone else that you're not angry with, that can be a form of a healthy outlet. Anger can still be healthy and needs to be expressed to the person that you're actually angry with, if you're safe enough to do so. Because there are times and there are instances or relationships where that person will be a physical threat and you should not express your anger to them because it won't keep you safe.
And that's why Thiago was told by Benja that therapy was the best option in that, because that will always give you, oh, I shouldn't say always, if you have a healthy therapist, they're going to give you that opportunity and hold that space for you with detachment. And they will give you the tools. They will hold you accountable when it's healthy. They'll tell you when you start to get unhealthy. They will set the boundaries and say, whoa, la, that's that, that's that, you know. And they will then correct you so that you can get back on track to continue feeling it and expressing it. And I explain that from Benja to Thiago. And he goes, Karen, if I weren't listening to your podcast, I wouldn't believe you had my dad. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't believe you for a hot minute. And he says, but because I've been going back and re-listening and I couldn't get an appointment with you for over a year, that finally when I got in, he said, at the point that I've listened to so many of the shows to understand that they've done their work, that I came here and I really believe fully ready to be able to hear this from my dad. And he said, so can you tell my dad that I'm really glad that he finally understands all of this? Because, man, it was painful to watch him. Mm-hmm. Man, it was painful to be his kid and to watch what he did to me and to my siblings and to my mom. And he said, and I still feel anger about it. And he said, so that's kind of messed. And I said, no, I said, it's healthy to feel more than one emotion at the same time. You can feel angry about all of it and sad and cry and be mad and sad and cry and be mad and then be relieved and happy. And then you could be grateful. And he goes, just that fast, eh? And I said, yes. And then you can learn to slow it down to process it more.
Also, it's not linear. So when he says yeah. that fast, it doesn't mean you're just done and over it.
Correct. And then Kelly. And then Ben just says to Thiago, he says, I did a lot of things that were just all avoidance. And he said, you've got written down a list on a piece of paper, all kinds of things. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? And he goes, he's got like pages and pages of whys of all the things that I did or the things I didn't do. And I said, do you have an example of one that's on the page? And he goes, yeah. He says, I would go to a family event where finally we were all doing something together actually as a family, and we were going to like a birthday. And he said, at, you know, maybe my sister's house. And we'd get there and Thiago would believe that, you know, he's gonna have time with me. And he was excited to actually be there with me. He'd hear there were games at the birthday party. He was excited to play the game with me. And then I made sure that I played with my sister or my brother-in-law or my nieces and nephews. I really added pain to everything, because even when I was actually with my family, I did things to still avoid participating and doing things with them. I avoided all the things that created connection, unless someone in my family pointed out and said, oh, do it with Diego. He said, like, unless someone kind of really put me on the spot, mm-hmm. like where I had to be confronted or like put in my place or challenged. He said, if I felt threatened, he said I would do it, but I would be so angry. So angry. I'd have like a rage inside. And that was one of Diego's questions. Like, why did I feel such a, like, so much detachment, so much anger in my father, even when we were doing something fun together? That was one of the questions. And he goes, okay. So when I say all this to Thiago, he ends up saying to me, this completely helps me understand. He says, but I didn't understand when I was writing my list how much all of this was all about one issue. That it all goes back to key things. He said, I thought my dad was going to have a reason that was about me.
That, oh my God.
That I did this wrong.
Yeah.
That my mom did this. That my sister did this. That my brother was bad. That the fighting my brother and I did was what angered him. He said, I was looking for my dad to validate that it was my mom's fault, that she didn't work hard enough or try hard enough to love him, that she just didn't do something right. He said, and then of course, I if I look at my list now, he says, I understand how much I'm blaming everybody else for my dad's behavior. That's my whole thing. And he said, and then of course, now that you're saying it, it makes sense that I'm blaming myself and I'm on that list, but I don't want to see that I'm blaming myself too. I'm avoiding taking responsibility. But now I'm understanding none of it was any of their responsibility, nor was it any of it mine.
Okay, so let's break it down for people who don't understand. As children, we need to find a reason why we're not getting our needs met so that we can believe that we can control getting our needs met. If we can just figure it out, we can do better. And of course, our parents are going to give us what we need or want. We cannot afford to believe that our parents don't love us or that our parents are not capable of showing up to love us. So we search for all the reasons because we can't accept that larger truth. That still stays true when we become adults. There's such a pain, there's such a deep fear or risk in figuring out our parents did not love us or could not love us, that we still try and find reason. And in this case, he's trying to place blame so that he doesn't have to face the idea that dad wasn't capable of loving me or that dad chose to tap out and not figure out how to love.
Exactly.
He's seeing now it's not personal. He hasn't really labeled it or got there just yet, but this is about dad. This is about dad's actual pain. That's the other thing too, right? We believe that they're doing it either like on purpose or to hurt us or to prove something to us. And we don't see our parents as people, as human beings who hurt, who have limitations, who come from trauma, and that there is actually a good reason why they have limitations. The frustration and anger is, if we're doing work, why aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So the feelings are fair. They're understandable. They're all human. And it's messy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully what he's doing in the process is, I say this lovingly, growing up to recognize what is and isn't personal.
And that's adulting.
Yeah.
This is part of what, just at the very end of the session, because this is how the session ends up ending. Because, you know, not all sessions end really slowly, gradually, nicely, peacefully, all wrapped up with a bow. Some of them are like, oh, shit, we've been 30 minutes. We're done. And the client's like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Like, so they don't get tidied up sometimes. And so at the end of the Ego and Benja session together, the Ego says to me, I'm starting to realize that every single thing on my page was me deflecting or me trying to find these reasons. Mm-hmm. And he said, now I'm also starting to understand the importance for me of finding a good therapist to be able to talk to. And he says, I don't believe in therapy and never did. He said, I just thought it was for women.
That's fucking rude.
Yep.
That speaks volumes about what he thinks about women.
Yeah. And he said, I just thought it was for them. And he said, now I'm questioning even my own beliefs, like that Good. One that I'm saying to you, because now I'm understanding dad really didn't understand himself. He didn't really even do any of the work. And he says, now I'm realizing I'm not in therapy. I'm not doing the work either. And I know I can. And he says, but I'm actually being more like my father than I care to admit.
We become the thing that we fixate on, even when we fixate on not becoming it. Right. Because we're staring at it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And then unknowingly we become it.
Right. Sadly.
I also want to say too, the importance of when you were talking about being able to hold two truths or two emotions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because when we do this work and we figure out my parent not loving me was not about me.
Mm-hmm.
We can come to this place of, I'll call it radical acceptance, right? Of like, okay, matter of fact, they were just not capable.
Mm-hmm.
And that affected me. And there is pain because of that fact. And that doesn't mean that we stop accepting it. We can hold these really hard things within ourselves at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I get that they were not capable. I'm sad for the ways it's affected me. I get that that wasn't love. I'm angry that I didn't have my needs met when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Two things can be true at the same time. That is also adulting.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of this belief that all the anger has to go away, that if I accept it or if I intellectualize it and understand it, all the feelings are going to go away and I'm just going to be fine and come out of my patterns.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a hard episode for a lot of people, but I'm really glad that you presented it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to hear that he's doing the work and he's taking some beautiful responsibility.
Finally, yes.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.